Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast with Nicolene Peck. Improving your life, uniting your family, changing the world.
Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. I'm Nicolene Peck, and I'm joined here with my daughter, Paige Baumert. Hi, Paige.
Well, hello.
Hello, Paige. I am so excited today because we are going to meet another one of our mentors, Sheree Jones. I can't wait for everyone to get to know her and to just feel of her energy and enthusiasm and just hear her stories of self-government. It's going to be so awesome. And I know that she has some words of wisdom, some lessons that she would like to teach people that she's learned from her own experience. But before we do that, Paige, we always talk about a fun family activity. And I think since Sheree is with us today, that we should ask her, what do you do for fun, Sheree? What is a fun family activity that your family looks forward to?
Oh, we love going up to the mountains. Anywhere where it's just a little bit, you know, alone and just with trees and with nature. It could be the desert. It could be the forest. It could be anything. We just love to go for drives. And then oftentimes we'll actually even take our bikes and we'll ride around in the dirt. And sometimes we'll take our dog and it'll just be fun. We'll explore and we'll search for rocks and different neat things like that. Yeah.
That's good. You know what? Just getting out in nature, it can be so peaceful, relaxing for a family. And I really love that you're thinking, and we're going to find some treasures. And what are the treasures there? Little rocks and little things.
All
and the
pockets.
Children love.
All of them.
Yeah, exactly. A pocket full of rocks. What is better than that?
That's right.
Two pockets full of rocks.
Lots of rocks.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Well, here at the Teaching Self-Government Podcast, we look through the lens of the principle self-government. Paige, how about you tell us what self-government means?
Of course. Self-government is being able to determine the cause and effect of any given situation and possessing a knowledge of your own behaviors so that you can control them.
That is perfect. And self-government is liberating. It's freedom. It is something that changes you. You're not the same person. You know, I was just actually meeting with some people discussing the problems with homelessness in the communities around us. And of course, I had to bring up the concept of self-government and how if we just keep doing stuff to people and don't teach them how to govern themselves as we're trying to help them out, then we could be missing one of the key ingredients to freedom. Right?
It's like the give a fish or teach a man to fish principle.
Exactly. Exactly. And when a person knows self-government, they know that they're in control of their own choices and behaviors, and which really puts them a lot more in control of their outcomes and their destiny. Not that we can fully control everything that happens in our lives. We sometimes have to adapt and bounce back and whatever, but we're definitely a lot more at an advantage if we know that we can control our thoughts and that we're proactive about the things that we choose to think and push away the things we don't want to think. That's liberating for anybody. I don't care.
It takes a lot more responsibility though. I was just, like, putting myself in the mind of a homeless person, say, because it's a lot easier to play the victim and be like, oh, I don't have what I need to get a house, or, you know, whatever it is, or I don't have what I need. I need someone to give it to me. But if I did, like, On the other hand, if for some reason me, as I am now, were homeless, I'd be like, okay, I have the skills I need. I know what I need to do. Do I want to do it? That's the question.
Well, okay. So there's a lot of different reasons. We're not talking about homelessness today.
I know.
That was a little bit of a red herring on my part. I'm like, whoops, I just fell off a cliff. Anyway, but we are talking about self-government, and that was fresh on my mind. So of course I brought it into the conversation. Anyway, Sheree, we want to meet Sheree Jones. Sheree, we're so happy to have you here. And if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and where you live and the ages of your children and how long you've been doing teaching self-government and those types of things. Just give us a good introduction to yourself.
Oh, thank you very much, Nicolene and Paige. You guys are the best. I actually do have a little bit of thing to say on homelessness. I think that's kind of an interesting topic, and it kind of goes along with me explaining who I am. I've been a mentor since about, oh, it's only been a couple of years now, I believe. And I have five children. I am 52 years old. I started having children when I was 30 years old, and then I got remarried to my third husband at 36, and I was a single mom with one child, and we just started having children right away, and it was a wonderful experience to be able to all of a sudden choose to be a stay-home mom. So I started doing that. Then I started homeschooling, and I started going down this really interesting path of really trying to have a new way of looking at life. And especially when you started multiplying these children, you start having you're making your family larger. You find that you don't govern yourself as well when you're under stress, and a lot of deep-seated issues can all of a sudden come to the surface. And so I needed self-government, and so I met Nicolene at a homeschool conference, and I got her book. And I tried to implement a few things by reading a few things, and then it turned into a manipulation program that I was trying to implement, not even TSG. And then I thought, I better really understand what this program really is all about. And I discovered that it was all about the heart, and I recognized that I needed it myself because I had grown up. I had been adopted when I was 14 years old. I was taken away at 12, and I was homeless for a period of time
Wow.
with my family. And one of the things that homelessness brings about is that you don't think you even have a choice. You don't even see yourself as an agent that can act. You literally don't even see that as an option. In fact, it's very hard to even have vision. You see other people living these lives, but it's so far distant from you that you are not capable of really gaining vision. And so being given opportunities to be able to act and to be able to have choice is massive for that particular community. And it was massive for me. So when I was introduced to teaching self-government, and I recognized that I didn't have to be acted upon, and that I actually had a choice to be calm, and that there was a different way, and Nicolene was showing, literally holding people by the hand, guiding them over to this calmness place, but not just a permissive calmness, but a structured calmness, was really actually quite liberating. I felt like I had been released from prison. And I had gone through a lot of counseling, a lot of counseling all throughout my years. And so.
So you had this, I guess, mindset from your childhood when you were homeless that, well, whatever happens to you, and you don't really have a lot of choice. And even though you were trying to make productive choices and find a good companion for life, and you were even choosing to homeschool your children, you still were like maybe a little bit passive, it sounds like, and until you really started recognizing the full power of your choice. That's really incredible, because I think the way that people are raised does make a difference. I think that there are a lot of people who are trying to learn teaching self-government. They're trying to learn that they need to not be living by excuses, but instead living by proactive choices, right? And so, which is the difference between being proactive and reactive, that's a learning curve for a lot of people.
Some people don't know how to, sometimes we don't really even understand how to problem solve through a situation. And so
Right.
you have a situation coming up to you, and you only see one, maybe even two options. But then Nicolene brings in sodas, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, there's a third option? Wait, there's a fourth option? This is incredible. And so and there's a gentle option, and there's a gentle way to talking about this and guiding people through. So yeah, even being, showing this is actually how you get yourself into the place where you can actually disagree appropriately, and that you actually do have a voice. I mean, that's pretty exciting.
It is. So tell us, Cherie, why did you choose to become a mentor?
So one of the reasons why I chose to become a mentor is because I recognize that I know it's different for every single group of people, but I knew that I needed to really immerse myself in it. I knew I needed to learn by teaching. I needed to be able to have my hands in it, and I needed to let go of my pride. And I have discovered that pride is something where you put yourself either above someone or even below another person. And so my problem was oftentimes I would put myself below other people, and I thought, oh, I can't teach this thing because I am not perfect, and sometimes I still make mistakes. And so when I discovered that I was able to start guiding people along and serving others and looking outside of myself, I discovered that it gave me a power to be able to actually improve myself. There's a real gift I think God gives all of us when we serve and we stop looking just inward and we stop putting ourselves below other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so how would you say that teaching self-government has helped your family? Like, what have you seen happen at your family? Is there like an experience or anything that jumps out to your mind that you feel like, oh, I'll never forget this, or this is a sign that our family is at a different place than we were?
Just the other day, it was actually my husband. He's kind of the slowest, the person that's had the hardest buy-in with this, and it's taking him time, really taking him time. But at one point, he said to me, we were talking about, and I said, do you think you know what we need to do next in this particular conflict with the kids? And he said, yes, I think I know. And he continued to somewhat ruminate on things. And all of a sudden he pulled back and he said, you know what? I know what I need to do right now. I actually need to drop the subject right now. And I went, whoa, that was amazing.
Yay!
Or when children, it's like tiny little glimpses. All of a sudden my child will go, just even that, may I disagree appropriately? And they have something really beautiful that they want to say, and I'm able to see their heart. Or, well, I just feel joyful because I feel like everybody has a voice. I think that's really important. I feel like we've really grasped it. Or when I have a child come up to me and say, Mom, thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving this to me. Or when my 17-year-old, it was like a week after I actually really learned how to do teaching self-government in 2020, or just before 2020, I think it was. Anyways, I came home and he said, I like you like this, Mom. I thought, oh, interesting. So it's just been tiny little glimpses. I wouldn't say that there were many big, I mean, I'm sure that there were big moments if I really
I mean,
thought about it.
I think a lot
I
of
think
parents would say that if your child says, I like this and I like you like this, I think a lot of parents would call that a big moment. I know it's just a little
yeah,
word,
100%.
but I think that's
I
what's
like you like this. And I realized that it was actually me. I mean, that was the big shift for the family, was me, to be able to recognize that I had a choice and I was the agent who could act. And I feel like that's a gift I've been able to give each one of my children. I said, it doesn't matter what the other person is doing. What are you going to do with yourself at this moment? And let's remember the skills that we have and that we have this awesome plan.
When I think us as moms, we have a huge pull in the family, whether we're the ones working or we're the ones staying at home. I know there are days, when I'm really sticking to our schedule, staying calm, being consistent with my corrections, stuff like that. My Clara, she's only three, but she's super happy and she's more willing to follow instructions, stuff like that. But on days where I allow myself to slip up or not do as good as I should, then all of us end up annoyed and stressed, and it's just a hassle.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
All
So yeah,
right. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying that the attitude that the parents have largely impact the kids. That's just to sum up.
For
Love that.
sure. For
Beautiful.
sure. Well, so we've learned a little bit about, your family, I guess, and how it's helped your family. So I know that you've also been involved in your community, teaching other people in your community and facilitating different groups and things, trying to help other people along this road of self-government. And sometimes the teacher learns more than everybody else when they're actually doing the teaching and helping other people. I mean, if you were to think about it, is there like one key thing that you've learned, or is there something that you feel like has been transformational to you as a mentor as you've been teaching other people?
Yeah, that generational trauma is a real thing. And in order to actually run and clear that line of issues, it takes consistency and it almost takes a little bit of the ability to metabolize a little bit of that poison that has gotten into the generation. And so when you make the decision that you will be the change within your generations, of making a difference in your family's life, and instead of yelling, or instead of hitting, or instead of going to complete permissiveness, you're going to metabolize all of that negative feedback that you've ever been given, and it's actually sometimes quite painful because the inclination is to actually go there, and so you need to be able to. I imagine myself as metabolizing it, and the only way I feel like I can metabolize it, quite honestly, is my faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement. And I feel like going there and going to prayer and learning the skills and giving that to other people becomes an ability for me to really clear that line. And I think over a period of time, I almost think of it as sort of this murky water or tainted water. And over the period of time, you just keep adding water to it, living water to it. And all of a sudden, that water runs clear, and you're able to then pour that out to the next generation. And that's what I'm hoping I'm doing. And my hope is that as I go through the process of learning and growing, that I can bring a few people along with me. That's, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think there's it empowers you really, because what I'm hearing is that you feel more empowered as you share it with other people and that you're seeing healing happen. And I mean, that's just a beautiful moment to be part of in anybody's life when you can, see somebody's heart change. And don't we all want that for our children and for our families and everything else? I mean, it really is powerful. Okay, so I know that you have a special message that you've prepared for us today, and we want to make sure that you've got plenty of time to give that special message.
Okay.
So, what is the message that you have for us today? What would you like to teach to the group? I mean, if you want to take a few minutes and then teach us and we can talk about it.
Okay. So let's go ahead and start with this. Is I love family vision. Every time there is a parent mastery conference that we do, my favorite section is family vision. And people astound me with their different family visions. And I've actually shifted my family vision based on some other people's ideas. I was like, oh, that is a beautiful idea. I would have never thought of that. And so I love hearing from people all around the world. I think it's just absolutely beautiful. But this is what I realized. Family vision, when you think of teaching self-government as a tree, family vision is the root. It is the thing that drives the roots right down deep into the ground when you're understanding what family vision is. Family vision is the why you do something. It's the basis group of why you're going to do what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Okay. And so it gives birth. I realized as I was studying the tree, because Nick Lane has this whole thing on trees, and I love trees. And so I started creating trees and I draw them. And all of a sudden, I recognize, oh my goodness, the why gives birth to tone and structure. It just gives birth to these two beautiful things that need to weave together through the tree. And this is where our heart of our family begins to beat the life. Giving nutrients throughout the tree, or our family government, our family relationships flourish with a well-rooted tree. So oftentimes, when we think about teaching self-government, we got to see it as a language. We are giving our children a principled language plan that holds both structure and tone like that of the Constitution of the United States and the proper implementation of the principles found in the Constitution, right? One that keeps both the parent and the child in check to allow leadership of the teachers, the mother and the father, and boundaries to allow thought for understanding and for repentance for improved attachment relationships. So where we have thought out the why, it gives us understanding of the vision, and that leads us to what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Okay, so a lot of times, here's an example. All right, I really love this example. The founding fathers, when they met for the Constitutional Convention, came from all different backgrounds. Countries, various economics, and even the people they represented were different based on religion, the food, the trade, the crops, the groups of migrants, the list goes on and on, right? So yes, the founding fathers came all from different countries and economic circumstances and different occupations even, yet they were united. And why were they united? Because they had the Holy Bible and they had beautiful classic principled books that they had all read. And they came from a search and a reliance on God. So they had a common language despite all of their differences. So this language, if we can think about the language, they had this language gave birth to the Constitution, and then they had a vision for the country that gave birth for so many beautiful principles that came into our country and so many good people that were able to progress because of that. So I even love Franklin. As he, at one point, he said, Benjamin Franklin asked for prayer to accomplish their cause. And Franklin, as all the framers of the Constitution realized the value of religion in society, and they realized the value of prayer in the weightier matters of politics. So, a nation is built on good communication, good self-government. Entire nations are also destroyed without the lack of principle and the ability to communicate peacefully. And isn't TSG a language that is built on those godly principles of good
Absolutely. Absolutely is.
Peeling back the onion on that one.
I'm like, okay, you have to practice because you have to develop fluency. Right now you have a whole other language and a whole different way of thinking. You know, you have to learn to think in that responsible way. I have a choice. Did I do this? How can I improve myself? You know, how do I correct myself? That takes practice.
Yeah. Yeah. And cool. And it's interesting because it gives us, it takes practice, but it also gives us hope, right? So a nation is built on good communication, and so is a family. And oftentimes we need to be able to unite our family within those good communication skills. If we're actually going to be able to advance as a family and be united as a family, we need to be able to have a common plan and a common group. And just like you were saying, Nicolene, I mean, how many times people think that they're not fluent. This is what I was going to say. Oftentimes people, their fluency relies on pop culture, does it not? I mean, their language is pop culture, or their language is, you know, old family habit communication. And then they wonder why they're not getting along. You know, a husband and wife might not be getting along because you have two different cultures coming together, regardless if they speak the same language, you know, they're still right. Two different cultures. So I love that. So the why, it gives us hope, and the why gives us rationale and helps develop a stronger heart voice.
Well, so, and it gives us, like you said, that culture is so huge because it actually, when you create a culture in your family like that and you say, this is who we are, that gives identity. And so that pulls all the hearts together because now we have a shared identity. I mean, I really like what you're talking about here.
Yes, that's awesome. And our children, and when we have a shared identity and we have a shared understanding of why, our children are more bought in, especially those that are struggling with a buy-in, those that are more oppositional, that really, really struggling. They need the why. They need to know why they listen to us. They need to know why they respect our rules. They even need to know why, as parents, we even need to know why, as parents, we take the time to apply the process of changing tone and our structure. Why do we need to work on ourselves? Even husbands just need to know why we need to have family meetings. What's the purpose of it? And so we really need to dig into the why. And what I love to do is I love to find movies and books and poetry and music and songs, and I pull in those different types of books and those different types of movies to really emphasize my why. So if I see that we're struggling as a family, I always go back to the roots, and I always go back to digging deeper and rooting ourselves in true principle of the why. So oftentimes, I know that we've talked about this. You know, I'm sure everybody has gone through and they've closed their eyes and they picture what your family has done in 20 years. And if your children are older than 12, we talk about that. And choose your holiday and tradition and who is there and what is the behavior toward each other. And you go through all the details, the smells, the food, the conversation, the games, the activities, and the feelings. And then we write down 2 weeks from now, with that same date in mind in 20 years, to do that vision exercise on a smaller level. And I love that so much because, and I find that we almost have to do it on a daily basis to give our children little tiny glimpses of this massive vision. My son, he served a church mission across seas over in the Republic of Georgia, and there was one of the leaders that came and spoke to them, and he said, "What you're giving people are little tiny glimpses, and it's like you're driving across a bridge, and you have the bridge every once in a while has a little gap opening to be able to see out into the vista of what the bridge is going over." And you get these little tiny glimpses and little pockets of light that you flash. And he said, all of a sudden, I got to the end of the bridge, and I suddenly, the entire vista came open to me, and I was able to see all the beautiful trees and water and light and beauty. And he said, but I already knew it was there. I already knew what it was going to look like because I had these little tiny pocket glimpses of everything. And that's all that vision does. And that's all that these little structures do, is it gives us beauty and truth and light. And
I love that. I'm wondering if you should share your vision with people and what it looks like to practice that vision on a daily basis.
I agree. I love hearing people's visions. I think it's fun.
So my vision is really interesting. I love the 4th of July and I love the 24th of July. And ours is more family reunion, and it's gonna be
You
around
have to
fireworks.
say that where you live, July 24th is like a state holiday with fireworks.
This is
Because
correct.
yeah, because not everybody people would be like, why
They're
do
like,
you
what?
like July
Are you
24th?
like
That doesn't make
the
and that actually in that state everyone calls it just like they say the 4th of July, they say the 24th of July instead of July 24th. So very
24th?
important to recognize why you said that. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And in the state we're in the state of Utah, and we're in central Utah in the country of population 2,000. It's not very big. And we love our celebration of the 24th of July. It's our heritage. We're celebrating the pioneers, tracking the plains. We're celebrating our heritage. It's just absolutely so beautiful. So to me, it is family. It's all about family. Where do we come from? What are our roots are about? And so we love fireworks, and we love being able to play family games, and we love hamburgers, and we love to practice doing those things on a regular basis. In fact, sometimes we'll say, "Hey, you know what? This is a really great meal that we're having right now. We should put that in our 20-year family vision of what we're going to be doing, and practice it every single year. Let's practice this particular burger this way with these French fries, you know?" And so We love our celebrations, and so we often celebrate during that period of time. There's something that I like to do, and I'll end with this, Nicolene, okay, and Paige. So when I'm teaching people about vision, I often will show my vision of my home remodel and where we are living. And oftentimes, have you ever lived in your house that you're fixing up? It's a special kind of hard.
Yes, when your refrigerator has been moved to the living room and you have no stove and you're like, oh, this new kitchen, it's going to be worth it.
It's going to be worth it. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. But we often, sometimes when we go to Pinterest, we often see people, or we go to blogs, you know, people will describe their plan and their vision. And all of a sudden they'll go straight to the before, and then they'll go straight to after. And everybody's like, oh, that is so amazing. But what I like to do, and I'm a photographer and have been doing photography for 30 years, I love to photograph the entire process of what we're going through, the mess of the in-between. And I like to show people all of the different in-between things, the things that we say, you know, we sit, the things that we don't see, like we're making a financial step-by-step plan and then we change it 20 times. Or they don't see like the grandparents or the friend or the children of the parents that take turns working late into the night and early into the morning. And we don't see when families take time to teach our children how to help. And then when they make mistakes and then how we have to fix their mistakes, or when we have these little minor injuries, or the time to pause for illness and holidays and birthdays, with all of the mess all the way around us. And so I show this remodel, and then I show my vision photos. And I had always wanted like this lovely, rich, dark blue dining room. And so after I realized I had not really shown my children the vision. And so after I had applied the paint late at night, my children came in the next morning and they were like, what? This is so different. This is so amazing. However, to me, it didn't look any different than the vision I had from the vision that I had created over a period of time. But here's the kicker. I show also, we go over with our kids, especially during January, and we're starting a new year. We go through the old photos and we show all the hard photos of the in-between and the dust in the hair and the grime and the late nights and the chipping away of things that we had found online. And that, I feel like, is the process of becoming. That is the process of knowing that we all have it hard and the trial isn't the problem. What really is the problem is the discouragement of the in-between not always looking perfect. And it's going to always be messy. And if we can think about this, there's this really great talk that Jeffrey Holland gave in 1980 at BYU. He's a great educator and a great religious leader. But he quoted Henry David Thoreau. And Henry David Thoreau said, most of the luxuries and many of the so-called comforts of life are not only dispensable, but positive hindrances to the elevation of mankind. So, he continues, love your life as poor as it is. The setting sun is reflected from the windows of the almshouse as brightly as the rich man's abode. So let's think about that again. Love your life as poor as it is. The setting sun is reflected from the windows of the almshouse as brightly as the rich man's abode. So think of the quote in parenting. We may not always be in the almshouse or, like, say, in crisis, but you will have times where you will be discouraged. You will not execute TSG correctly. You may have time when you will have to go without. You may have to choose to go to church late because you'll be in the middle of a lengthy calm correction. You may need to comfort someone. However, in recognizing the hard work, the sacrifice, the planning and the replanning and the pre-teach and the reworking, you will see the sun, even in your poor moments, your imperfect life moments. You will see the sun in your almshouse. And just as those who have been doing TSG for years and may be in the rich man's abode situation in regards to TSG, the sun shines for both You and me just the same. So your home, your vision is a daily reminder of what you are doing, the hard work, and it allows you to see the sun daily and catch small glimpses and rejoice in many small tender mercies. And as you point yourselves toward the light, your eyes will adjust to the brightness and you will see more details in the light and you will catch more vision because you will acclimate yourself to brighter and brighter things.
I like that vision of, I mean, really just the imagery of what it means to progress, because that, you know, it is a gradual process. And I think that as you're, you know, explaining all of those details, which just are really, you know, picturesque. I mean, it shouldn't surprise me, photographer telling, you know, but I think through that process, patience, right, must prevail. I mean, you have to have that patience to carry you through as you go through the messy, and you have to keep seeing, but there is something beyond this. And I know where I'm headed, even though I know I'm not there yet. And I think that's the beauty of the vision. It's not that you get there immediately. It's that you know where you're headed. And I love that you said when you painted the walls and you knew that in your mind's eye that that was going to be the color of those walls in the future. And when you finally hit that stage where you painted those walls, that it wasn't a surprise to you because you'd already envisioned it and you knew it was just how you wanted it to be. I just think that's really, you know, beautiful. Now we only have a couple of minutes left, but I'm wondering if there is something like, if there's a TSG training or a resource or something, what made the biggest difference for your family? What is like your TSG gold, you know, the thing you like best?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that I love, but I love the Parent Mastery Conference. The 3-day Parent Mastery Conference is so gold because it often gives you an overview vision of what this is supposed to look like very quickly. And for people like me that is a very visual type of person, it lays out the plan very quickly. And one of the things that I loved as far as being a mentor is being able to go back and help reteach this to other people and relearn it over and over again on a deeper level. The second thing I love, love.
Yeah, Cherie, you're kind of like a parenting mastery training just like junkie. Like, she loves the parenting mastery training.
I love
like,
it.
I'll come again. I'm like, okay, let's
I
go.
Do. I do. Practice, 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 right? Habits, 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 right? In fact, James Clear of Atomic Habits, is that what it is? Or
yeah.
Okay, James Clear of Atomic Habits, he said that if you make a 1% improvement every single day, that equals 35% of improvement over the year. That's huge. And so I tell myself, you know what? Even if I fall off the wagon, I'm going to come back. I'm just going to keep coming back. One of the things that helps me come back is the weekly phone calls. I love the weekly phone calls. It doesn't matter what the people are asking questions on. You always see that Nicolene is going to take you through a problem solve. And it takes you through the patterns and the principles. So if you can see it from a principled method, you'll always learn from it. And you can translate it into what you need to do. And the last is I love the YouTube channel. I love going to the YouTube channel because I use those videos that Nicolene does to share with my family. And we'll actually go through and we'll talk about it and I'll sometimes even just show like a little tiny short segment of something. I'll get the little search bar out and I'll do a little search on what I'm needing to do. And I'll pull out all those videos and it helps sort of organize the little presentation lesson. And so the other day we did a whole thing on, you know, the heart voice and the mind voice and the body voice. And then I showed this movie and we read scriptures and poetry. And it's just, once you understand the tools that are available and the vast depthness that TSG really is, you know, teaching self-government is, you know, and you add that to things that you're digging for, man, it's wonderful. To teach your family with. So yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Yeah, so Paige, you've been just kind of quiet there, and I know
I know.
we're just about at time, but I guess you're just learning from Sri and taking it in. But is there anything that you wanted to ask that I didn't get to?
Not ask, but there was a thought that I wanted to add, if that's all right.
Yeah.
I was just listening to those last little thoughts that you had there, Cherie, and I was thinking about how the family vision, it really is so important. It's something that you truly do have to work for, and you have to find joy in the work. Multiple times I've been talking with my husband, and he'll tell me, I wish that we could just be there already. Like, I don't want to do all the work. I just want to be there already. And I'm like, okay, I
I
understand
mean,
where you're coming
who
from.
doesn't, you know? I mean,
I
you know. Yeah.
He's like, I want to be the old guy sitting on the porch looking at all the world. Life is accomplished. Our kids are doing great. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that, but we have to get there first.
Yeah.
Because if it's just given to you, going back to our very first comments at the very beginning of this, right? If it's just given to you, then it's much more easy to take it for granted and to not treasure it like the treasure it really is. Because for something that important, you have to be able to put the work into it. Otherwise, it's not a treasure. And, thinking about it is our whole life, us as individuals here, this whole earthly life, whether you're religious or not, everything that you put into it is for a purpose. And it's for a greater vision that isn't even our own.
I love
And
it.
so it's so important that you work hard and you put your heart and soul into the things that matter most, because in the end, it is worth something, even if it is just your own growth and your own knowledge, increase of
Yeah,
knowledge and wisdom.
beautiful.
Yeah, thank you, Paige. I mean, that's where, mic drop, super profound. Love it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I totally agree. Wow, it has been a joy to have you with us, Cherie. I really appreciate the time. I appreciate the thoughts that you've put together and the way that you've just spoken from the heart today to everybody and expressed, from your perspective and your experience, the freedom that comes just by even starting to have a picture of where you're headed. And I think that was a really good reminder of that power of vision. I think there's a lot of people that don't do it. Like Paige said, sometimes there's people who are like impatient about it. Why do we have to wait so long? But it's because the vision really is about the process, which I think you vocalized really well, talking about how the process can seem a little messy sometimes, but the vision really would, there would be no point without the process. There is a process that we have to go through for change of heart and unity and all the things we care about most. And in the end, that's the blessing of it all. But we have to know where we're headed, otherwise it doesn't always turn out to be a blessing. What a blessing to be with both of you ladies today. Thank you so much for joining us on the Teaching Self-Government podcast. You can find more about Cherie, and if you want to schedule a meeting with her or with Paige or with any of our other mentors, you can do that at teachingselfgovernment.com. And we will talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Teaching Self-Government podcast. For more information and resources to help unite your family, visit teachingselfgovernment.com.